Let's all bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. And we know, Lord, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we pray now, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page, that you would have a message for each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, that you would defeat the devil, for how the devil would seek to snatch away the good seed from the heart of the sinner. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. We're so conscious that we need thee, how I need thee, Lord. As we come to consider the word of God, the precious word of God, the incorruptible word of God, the living word of God. We thank thee, Lord, and we know that someday heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall stand forever. Thy word remains forever, for it's forever settled in heaven. And O God, as we come to consider thy truth today, we pray that you would write your word upon every heart and soul. We need thee, Lord, to do this, because the preacher cannot do it. We thank thee that this is the work of God. And O God, therefore we pray, envious of self, and fill us with the power of God. We pray, Lord, that you might give us ears to hear, O God, that we might perceive what God would have us to do. Bless us, we pray thee. Anoint us with thy power, we ask of thee. And we think, Lord, of those in the meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God. Save them. O God, we pray that you'll speak to their hearts today. Draw them to Christ for time and for eternity. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. Please turn again to that portion of Scripture that we read earlier in Numbers chapter 32. And I want to draw your attention particularly to verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Particularly, I want to emphasize the latter part of the text. Be sure your sin will find you out. God will not and does not overlook sin. It matters not whether that sin is found in the lives of God's people or in the lives of the Christ rejecter. All sin will be dealt with and punished, because God is a God of justice. Now, in a moment, we'll be looking at this text and considering the sin of the Christ rejecter. We will be applying Numbers 32, verse 23, to the life of the sinner without Christ. However, it is important that we all understand that in the context of this chapter, our text is referring to the sin of God's people, to the failure of God's people. And I must point that out before we say anything else. Here in this passage of Scripture, the 2.5 tribes of Israel wanted to settle on the east side of Jordan. They did not want to go into the promised land. However, although they were determined to live on the east side of Jordan, they said that they would go over into the promised land and fight for their brethren until they had conquered their enemies. And then they would return to the east side of Jordan and live with their families. And that was all good and proper. However, at this point, Moses made it quite clear to the 2.5 tribes that if they failed to do this, in other words, if they failed to go with their brethren over Jordan and help them defeat their enemies, then their sin would find them out and God would judge them for their sin of neglect, their sin of helping their brethren. Look at verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, if they opted out of the battle, God would judge them. If they discouraged their brethren by not going and fighting with them in the battle, God would judge them. Child of God, there has to be a message here for you and me.
You and I are in a spiritual battle today, and we're in this battle together. However, the sad reality is that there are some of God's people who are opting out of the battle. They are leaving it to a few to fight in the battle. They're leaving the fight to others. I pray that you're not one of the ones that's leaving the fight to others. Child of God, be very careful. Your sin of neglect in the things of God does not find you out. And remember this, your sin of neglecting spiritual duties is a discouragement to God's people who are faithful, and God will judge you for it. Take a look at verse 6 there. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? We're living in a day of lazy Christians. They let others do the work. They let others do the praying. They let their brethren bear the burden. Lazy Christian, be sure your sin will find you out. God will hold you accountable for it. And I believe that is the truth, the lesson that is brought out here in this passage of Scripture. Oh, there's a message here for God's people. And may you and I, child of God, today not miss this message. We're living in a day when God's people need to be up and doing. This is not a day for retreat. This is a day of pressing on. And if there's a day and age when you and I need to pray more and witness more and live for Christ more, then it is this day and age, this 21st century in which we live. We need to go forward together. And that's why it is so important to get involved in the work of God. The place, if you believe that God has called you here, then this is the place where you need to get involved and serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. However, there's a message here for the Christ rejecter. Sinner without Christ today, here's a message for you. And if you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully to this message. Be sure your sin will find you out. One preacher once said, sin is the greatest detective of all time because sin always finds the sinner out at the end. My dear unsaved friend, notice with me a number of things here as we consider this text and apply it to your heart and to your soul. Be sure your sin will find you out. First of all, I want you to notice the depth of your sin. Look at the text and look at it very carefully. It says, be sure your sin. I want you to underline those two little words there. Your sin. Sinner, we're talking about your sin. Your sin, you see, is personal to you. It is your sin that God is talking about. Now, we all like to talk about everybody else's sins, and we all like to point out the failures in everyone else. But here God has a message for you today, young man, young woman. He has a message for you, older person. You're in this meeting today and you're not saved and born again of the Spirit of God. Here God is talking about and speaking about your sin. And I want you to see the depth of your sin. You see, your sin is against God. Oh, the depth and depravity of man's sin against God. Men and women, when you sin, your sin is not so much against your fellow man, but primarily your sin is directed against God. When we sin, we are guilty of gross depravity against the God of heaven. I want you to keep your hand in Numbers chapter 32 and turn over to Psalm 51 for a moment. It's important that you turn to the place. And if you haven't got a Bible with you, there are Bibles in the pew in front of you. Lift one and open it at Psalm 51 and look at verse 4 and consider with me what David said, King David. Here's what he said in the psalm. He said, against thee,
Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Notice how David describes his sin here as evil in the sight of God. Can you see the depths of David's sin here? He is sinning against God. Oh, when you study the story of David's sin with Bathsheba, you will discover that he sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah the Hittite. He sinned against Israel. He even sinned against himself. But primarily, David had sinned against the Lord. And here in the psalm, David is acknowledging that. Here we see the depths of man's sin. My friend, when you sin, you're sinning against God. Now, you might be sinning against your neighbor. You might be sinning against your wife. You might be sinning against your husband. You might be sinning against your children. But primarily, your sin is against the God of heaven. In Psalm 41, verse 4, the psalmist said again, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Again, the psalmist is acknowledging that his sin is against God. In Micah 7, verse 9, we read these words, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. My friend, do you realize today, as you sit in God's house, that your sin is against the God of heaven? You have broken his law. You have trampled under his commandments. And what a solemn thought that is. What a serious matter that is. That's why you need today to repent of your sin and confess your sin to God. Because if you confess your sin and repent of your sin to the Lord, then the God of heaven will forgive you your sin. Of course, before you confess your sin, you must acknowledge that you have sinned. And of course, that's the hardest thing of all for the sinner to do, to come to that place in their life where they will admit that they are sinners and where they will take that step of confessing their sin to God. And yet the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're going to be saying more about that just in a moment. But I want you to see here initially the depth of your sin, how serious your sin is, because your sin is against God, and it's your sin. It's your sin. As I have said there a moment ago, we all like to judge the sins of others, and we all like to point the finger at others, because you see, that takes the focus off ourselves. But remember this, dear sinner, when you point the finger at others, there's three fingers pointing back at yourself. Your sin, the depth of it, it's serious because it's against God. It's against God. And someday you will stand before God and give an account of your sin to God. And what a solemn day that's going to be. The depth of your sin. Be sure, your sin. Your sin. Now notice, secondly, the discovery of your sin. Look at the text again. It says, be sure your sin will find you out. I want you to underline those last four words there, will find you out. Sin always catches up with the sinner. Sooner or later, your sin will find you out. There's an interesting text of scripture in 1 Timothy 5, verse 24. This is what it says. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. In other words, if your sin does not find you out in life, it will find you out in eternity. In Galatians 6 verse 7 we read, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Those are very solemn words. My friend, the truth is this, that sooner or later your sin will find you out. King David's sin found him out in life. Or King Saul's sin, rather, found him out in life. In 1 Samuel 26, verse 21, we read these words, "Then said Saul, I have sinned, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly." But remember this, if your sin does not find you out in time, it will find you out in eternity, when the books are opened on the judgment day. I want you to notice the first two words in our text in verse 23. Look at the text again. It says, "Be sure." Be sure your sin will find you out. You see, when the conscience of man is seared, the sinner can sin and sin and sin without it having any effect on him. Sinning becomes a part of the sinner's life, and it deceives him and blinds him. Sin, as we have said, is the great deceiver. And sin at this moment in your life, my friend, is deceiving you. Sinner, at this moment you may feel that your sin is not too bad. In fact, you may even think that your sin is not sin at all. And because you're getting away with your sin and getting on with your life, you might think that God is taking no notice of your sin. And I believe that there are many in this land today, and they feel that. They believe that. Many of them, of course, don't believe in God, and they don't believe in life after death, and they don't believe in the judgment of God. But even many who do believe in God have this notion within their own hearts that God is going to overlook their sin. So they just keep on sinning. They keep on running after the pleasures of this world. But my friend, be sure. Underline the words in the text. Be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, sooner or later, whether in this life or the life to come, your sin will hit you like a ton of bricks, and you will discover then how great and how wicked and how vile and how depraved your sin really is before God. That's why you need to make sure that you have Christ as your Savior and know Him as your personal Redeemer. That is why you need to make sure that your sins are under the blood and that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why you need your sins forgiven. And my exhortation to you today is to come and put your faith in the Lord Jesus and trust Him as your own and personal Redeemer. Because sooner or later, your sin is going to hit you. Your sin is going to be discovered. You are going to discover that you are the sinner. You see, people do not admit today and will not confess that they are sinners. And although they know that verse so well, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," although you know that other verse so well, "There is none righteous, no, not one," still, sin is blinding your mind. The devil has so deceived you into thinking that your sin is not going to be judged the way the Bible says. You just keep on going on in your sin, but sooner or later, whether in this life or in the life to come, all of a sudden, your sin is going to find you out. And such a weight that's going to be upon you when you waken up and recognize, all my life I have been sinning against God, and now is time for judgment. Now is the time for reckoning. Now is the time to stand before God to bear the punishment for my sin. Because be sure of this, your sin will
be punished. You may get away with it for years. You may get away with it for a lifetime. You may spend your life, all of your life, living for the sins of this world and running after the pleasures of this world. But sooner or later, very soon, and life is very brief. Life is very short. But at the end of your life, if you continue to go on in your sin, you'll die. And you'll stand before God. And your sin at that moment will find you out. Your sin will be discovered. You will discover that you are the sinner. You will discover that hell is real. You will discover that God is real. You will discover that God punishes sin. But on that day, it will be too late. You see, there's something else I want you to notice here about your sin. Your sin. The depth of your sin. The discovery of your sin. And what it means to discover that you're the sinner. I want you to notice the destruction of your sin. The whole text says, be sure your sin will find you out. Sinner, when your sin finds you out in eternity, it will be too late then for you to repent. Instead, your sin will destroy you. Your sin will destroy you. Keep your hand in Numbers chapter 32. And turn over just for a moment to James chapter 1. And look at verse 15. Look what it says. I'm sure it's a familiar text to many in the meeting. But if you're not a Christian, maybe it's not a familiar text to you. But here we have James in the New Testament. And he comes to deal with this subject of sin. And sin finding the sinner out. And look what James says. At the end of the verse, he says this. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And what about Romans 6, verse 23? Take a look at that text of Scripture. Here we have the Apostle Paul again in the New Testament, and he comes to speak about this subject of sin finding the sinner out. And this is what he says. The wages of sin is death. The Bible speaks about the second death, which is eternal judgment, of course. The truth is sin, and the sinner without Christ will end up in destruction. And of course, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught when he walked upon this earth. In Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. My friend, if God's word is true, and it is, then the sinner without Christ is in great peril. You are in great danger. Christ is the only answer to your sin. Because at the end of life's journey, when all is over, when all is said, when you've put forward all of your arguments for not getting saved and not coming to Christ, you stand before your Creator. And on that day, your sin will surely find you out. And you'll hear those solemn words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What a solemn thought. I wonder, as we're gathered in God's house today, and there are many in our congregation, and you come so faithfully to God's house, you're still not saved. You're still not a Christian. And maybe you've come here for years, maybe a lifetime, and you've sat underneath the sound of the gospel, and you've heard your need of Christ, and you've heard about the consequences of your sin, and still you have never turned away from your sin and repented of your sin. My friend, what about today? Would you not come in true repentance and faith, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and praise God your sins, which are many, can and will be forgiven? See, Christ died on the cross for sin. Christ is willing today to forgive you for your sin and cleanse you from your sin. But you must repent of your sin
And of course, you know what repentance means. Repentance means turning away from sin. In Acts 3, verse 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." God always looks upon sin as a serious matter. Therefore, you need to repent of your sin. You know, we can see how serious God views sin when we consider the cross. So serious did God view sin that he sent his only begotten Son to the cross to die for sin. If God did not look upon sin as a serious matter, he would not have permitted his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for sin upon the cross. Sin is a serious matter. And God views sin as a serious matter. He views your sin as a serious matter. He views my sin as a serious matter. And in order for God to forgive sin, a sacrifice was needed. And of course, that sacrifice was his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. And just think about it for a moment. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to this earth to go the whole way to Calvary, and there upon the cross of Calvary, die for your sin and for my sin. That's how serious God looked upon sin. You see, sin had to be punished. And my friend, if you will not accept that Jesus died for your sin upon the cross and come and trust him as your Savior today, then your sin will be punished in hell forever, because sin has to be punished. Your sin has to be punished. My sin has to be punished. Oh, thank God for the message of the gospel. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life a ransom for the many. And upon that cross, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered, and he died alone. And he became my substitute, and my sin bearer, and my Savior. And thank God, because he has taken my place, and because today I have accepted him as my own and personal Redeemer. Praise God, when I die and stand before God, God will not make me accountable for my sin, because my sin is under the blood. My sin has been forgiven. My sin has been cleansed. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't it wonderful, the message of the gospel? And yet there are those here today, and you hold on to your sin. You don't want to let go of your sin. Well, my friend, if that is the case, be sure your sin will find you out. And someday soon, you will stand before your Maker. You will stand before the God of heaven without a Redeemer, without a Savior, without a sin bearer, because you refused him on earth, because you rejected him while you lived upon this scene of time. You said, "I do not want this man to rule over me." And you pushed him aside because you wanted to hold on to sin. My friend, it's sin or the Savior. It's sin or the Savior. Accept the Savior today and your sins will be forgiven. But hold on to your sin and you will bear the punishment and the penalty for your own sin. Of that, there is no doubt. Would you not come to Christ today? Would you not trust him? Would you not turn from your sin and believe on him? May God give you the grace to come. Let us all pray.